Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org
or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
You use the term sexual preference to describe those in the LGBTQ community. And let me make clear, sexual preference is an offensive and outdated term. It is used by anti-LGBTQ activists to suggest that sexual orientation is a choice. It is not. Sexual orientation is a key part of a person's identity. That sexual orientation is both a normal expression of human sexuality and immutable.
That's Hawaii Senator Mazie Hirono speaking during the confirmation hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Apparently, the term sexual preference is out and sexual orientation is in. But was her statement, was her criticism of the judge based upon the latest research into sexual orientation? And is sexual orientation actually itself considered a rather passe term by people who study such things? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about sexual orientation. Glenn Stanton joins us. He's director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family and author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for Public Discourse titled Sexual Orientation is Not What You Think It Is. Glenn, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
You say that the high-minded moral movement calling us to respect all sexual orientations has really failed to keep pace with its own progress. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's the big, big irony. I mean, the call today is, and that quote, to respect all orientations, comes from a very recent U.S. Supreme Court decision that, yes, we should respect all sexual orientations. Well, people who say things like that have not been keeping up with what the literature itself says in gender studies, because, I mean, we're coming up with new sexual orientations all the time. And, you know, that call that, well, people are either straight or gay, that's it. And as Senator Hirono said in the quote that you just opened, that they're immutable, that they don't change. I mean, that is so 1970s in terms of the coming literature that's being published today in academic journals by gender theorists themselves. I mean, they've moved beyond this idea of sexual orientation and moving on into other areas, saying that, yes, sexual orientation is very fluid, that it incorporates all kinds of different things, and that, yeah, I mean, these people are simply not the ones that claim, yes, we have to respect all sexual orientations. They're just not keeping up with the literature. They think that they're high-minded. They think that they're informed, but they're not. It's actually kind of embarrassing for them.
What's the new, we can get into some of this in a few minutes with respect to particulars, but what is the new model, if not sexual preference or sexual orientation? What are the researchers talking about?
Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting because one of them that I cite, she's a Canadian scholar. Her name is Sari Van Ander. She teaches at Queen's University up in Canada. And she has called for, in an academic journal, in a professional journal article, saying, let's toss off sexual orientation in favor of what she calls sexual configuration theory. She says that sexual orientation is regressive because it belongs to what she calls the bioessentialist project. That is, you are what you are and you can't change. She's saying, no, that does not connect with what she's saying, where people are sexually fluid in their orientation. And she says, let's tear down these walls, let's break down these walls, and let people be who they actually are. I mean, the thing, Todd, is that as gender theory and sexual orientation theory gets more radical, it is tossing sexual orientation out the window. And that's what people like Senator Hirono and, you know, the justices in the Supreme Court do not recognize and appreciate and understand. So, yeah, it's we're losing the boundaries here. And basically, people are calling for, let's just be open to everything. And that's what they need to face.
So talk about the fact that the list continues to grow. It's not just that the acronym LGBT that sufficed for so many years has grown to QAI+. And then, of course, if you add in all the other, you get something that's useless as an acronym because it's a paragraph long. But talk about the fact that even according to the researchers who are doing, they're doing serious research on these things. They're seeing what people are saying about themselves sexually. That the list just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, it does. And even the LGBT sites themselves will say, you know, as of 2020, this is the list of sexualities and sexual orientations. And it continues to grow month by month. I mean, here's the big, big thing. In terms of the real serious scholars who study this stuff and are publishing in scientific journals, first of all, they show, and this research, and I go into great detail in the article in Public Discourse, they started to show that women's sexuality and sexual orientation is very different than men's sexual orientation. And these are, you know, very gay-friendly scholars, but they're saying, yes, men tend to be more fixed on body and genitalia, whereas women, their sexual orientation is not actually a sexual orientation, it's what they call a romantic orientation. That women, I mean, it's why you will, you know, see this gender, this sexual fluidity in, you know, this woman that has raised five kids and her husband divorces her and then she becomes a lesbian later in life. It's not that she has become something else. She has simply entered a new type of relationship that she feels comfortable with. It's not that she's attracted to particular body parts like men are. She's attracted, her heart is attracted to another person. And these scholars will say, and oftentimes that attraction will become eroticized, if you will, and turn sexual. And so the lifelong lesbian or the fixed lesbian is a very rare thing. Typically, lesbianism is just simply bisexuality, a woman being able to fall in love with, if you will, whoever she falls in love with. And so, yes, and I say this in the article, is that the male sexual orientation is like PC, whereas a woman is like a Mac. I mean, it's just a completely different operating system. And this is some of the things that these scholars are coming up with and recognizing that, yes, sexual orientation is different. I mean, there's other things like bondage and, you know, sadomasochism. I mean, there are scholars who say, no, that is a legitimate, real sexual orientation itself. And we go into this, but like pedophilia itself. Pedophilia, I mean, a sexual orientation does not necessarily have to be socially acceptable and approved in order to be an orientation. There's scholars who are saying, yes, pedophilia itself is, it's an unacceptable sexual orientation, but it is a sexual orientation.
Let's talk a little bit about something you just brought up, which was bisexuality. LGB, the B in the LGBTQ, is bisexuality, and it's kind of the poor stepsister of gay and lesbian. What does the research say about how this plays into their picture of orientation fluidity, so to speak?
Yeah, now see, that's very, very interesting because typically, like even in the gay community, the gay male community, like they reject bisexuality because they're like, dude, either sign up for one team or the other. You know, don't try to play it both ways. And politically, they do not like for men to claim to be bisexual. It's either one or the other. But a major journal article was published this summer in the Proceedings of the Natural Academy of Sciences. In fact, it was authored by a number of leading lights in the field of sexuality studies, and it was edited by none other than Harvard's Steven Pinker. And it offers what they call, quote, robust evidence for bisexual orientation among men. And so this article coming to press this summer says, oh, no, absolutely that bisexuality in men is its own sexual orientation. So, you know, we have scholars saying that even this category of sexualities, gay, straight, or bisexual, they're saying that that's not even adequate because, you know, and we'll talk about this in just a minute, there's a new orientation developing called mostly straight. It's guys who are straight, but they are open here or there to sexual relationships with people of the same sex. I mean, we are not where we used to be. I mean, this tectonically, it's changing. The definition of sexual orientation is changing so dramatically under our feet that the current political discussion just simply is not keeping up with it.
And just to pause there, because it's a lot to take in, if we are going to be making court decisions or writing laws that simply say sexual orientation is a protected class, without going into the details, those are going to make for some very, very messy and unworkable situations.
Well, no, and that's exactly right, Todd, because, I mean, this summer in the Bostick decision, okay, and two conservative judges, in fact, Judge Gorsuch wrote the majority decision that said that sexual orientation as a thing was intended to have been in the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and therefore is a protected employment class. But get this, and it's exactly what you were saying. The majority did not define in this legal document, a Supreme Court ruling, what sexual orientation was and was not. And what I talk about in my article, and like I just referenced, that there are scholars and a number of very different serious scholars, in fact, Harvard Medical School says that pedophilia is a legitimate sexual orientation. It's not a legal one or it's not an acceptable one, but it is a sexual orientation. So what does that mean? It means that the Supreme Court, by not defining what they thought and what they meant is and is not a sexual orientation, they basically said, you know what, a person can come to work now and it would be illegal to act on their pedophilia, but they could talk about it. They could bring written material, you know, perhaps. I mean, it's just the Supreme Court has now made that a protected class, and they did it unwittingly. They didn't realize what they were doing, but they did it because they were sloppy, and they just simply assumed that, well, sexual orientation just either means gay or straight. Well, no. I mean, they demonstrated that they are not keeping up with the literature, the academic scientific literature on these questions, and they have therefore opened up employers to have to protect all kinds of things that they would never want to protect.
Glenn Stanton is our guest. We're talking about sexual orientation. He's director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family and author of a recent column for Public Discourse titled Sexual Orientation is Not What You Think It Is. When we come back, mostly straight.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with The Stronger Man, The Sin Against the Holy Spirit, Good Fruit and Bad, The Sign of Jonah, and The Plight of the Homeless Demon. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
We're discussing sexual orientation with Glenn Stanton of Focus on the Family. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Thanks to the smartest and most generous listeners in radio and podcasting, we've reached the 84% mark of a $200,000 match for the new studios and offices of Issues, Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Help us cross the finish line and double your gift with a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support. Glenn, you mentioned this before the break, mostly straight. What is it?
Well, there is a major league player in the scholarly field on the study of sexuality. His name is Rich Savin Williams. I mean, he's a major, major light in this field. He is a professor at Cornell. And he has studied these things from every which way. And this is one of the most recent developments. This is a book that he published with Harvard University Press. And it's called Mostly Straight, Sexual Fluidity Among Men. And he is telling this story. He is explaining that there's this very large population, in fact, larger than the group of men who identify as either bisexual or gay themselves, called Mostly Straight. Basically, these are guys that are heterosexual for the most part, but he started hearing as he's interviewing them in his research that, yeah, if they met the right kind of guy and were in the right situation, that they would be open to a same-sex sexual relationship. And so he writes this book, Mostly Straight. Again, the subtitle, Sexual Fluidity Among Men, explaining, and these are primarily like millennial males. There aren't really any that are older. So this is an emergence of a new kind of what he calls in a journal article on this topic is a legitimate, bona fide, real sexual orientation. So here's another sexual orientation that's added on top of all the others that we're seeing invented called mostly straight or mostly heterosexual.
You had mentioned pedophilia, and then, of course, any variation of any kind of situation that people can claim as a sexual orientation. Of course, these things are socially unacceptable, God willing, for the foreseeable future. But it, just in terms of the researcher looking at and identifying people and their proclivities, it's hard to deny that something like pedophilia isn't a sexual orientation.
Right. And the criteria that they use for that, in fact, there's one guy, and I quote him in my article. He asks the question academically, is pedophilia sexual orientation? And he says, largely by any definition of sexual orientation, that is age at onset, when it manifests itself, the sexual trigger that it acts and produces in the individual, and then the fact that it doesn't seem to change or it seems to stay fixed through life. They say because of those three criteria that the sexual response that we see in people that report pedophilic attraction, that yes, that's an orientation. It's sort of, I mean, to use that phrase, just how they are, which explains the problem with that phrase. Well, it's just how they are. Well, we're just how we are a lot of different ways. And that doesn't always mean that we have to respect and tip our hat to that kind of sexuality.
So what do they do about the other kind of deviant sexualities like polyamory? How are those regarded by researchers?
Well, it's interesting, and I cite, there are legal scholars, I mean, writing in legal journals, making the case that polyamory, that is, many loves, having many sexual partners at a particular time, that that is a legitimate sexual orientation. There are things like abrosexuals, and these are people who literally can change their sexual orientation often and effortlessly. They can tend to be one thing in the morning and another thing in the afternoon, or one thing this week, another thing next week, and it's called abrosexuality. And there are scholars that say, yes, that is a legitimate, real sexual orientation. In fact, as I say in the article, the abrosexuals, I mean, they have their own flag. This is such a real thing, such a significant thing in the LGBT alphabet soup community, that these people are even identified with their own flag.
The fact, as you mentioned before, that the Supreme Court failed to even minimally define sexual orientation while folding it into sex in the Bostock case seems to me accident waiting to happen.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's laughable if it weren't so serious. And it's lazy because they just assumed that, oh my goodness, I mean, when we say sexual orientation, we mean gay or straight. But again, you look at the published academic literature from gender theorists, and they are so far removed from that flat earth idea that sexual orientation, and Senator Hirono, that clip that you used in the Judge Barrett hearing, you know, she's using that flat earth nomenclature, if you will, that, well, you know, sexual orientation is just about gay or straight, and it's fixed, it's immutable, it doesn't change. I mean, these people have not read anything in the literature on this topic from gay scholars themselves. I mean, it's so far removed down the track, and that is what is so problematic about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Bostock this summer, is they didn't even try or bother to define what they meant and didn't mean by the term sexual orientation. And it's embarrassing for them because it demonstrates that they're not keeping up with the literature. They don't know what the discussion is currently. They're just assuming an old model, and that old model has changed. And that is exactly the point that I make in my article at Public Discourse.
At some point, the list of orientations gets so long, so cumbersome, so impossible to navigate, and so diverse that it loses all meaning. You and I would prefer just to return to the sexual binary, but have we opened Pandora's box? Have we reached a point of no return where even the research says, look, everybody's kind of their own thing at this point?
You know what, Todd? I mean, that's exactly it. And in a sense, I mean, from a Christian point of view, we are. You know what? We are all broken sexually. You know, Jesus says, he who looks upon a woman who's not his wife with lust, he's admitting that we are no longer wired the way God originally wired us to be. So, you know what? Our sin natures can take us in all kinds of different directions. And that is exactly what you just are saying and are recognizing, is the silliness of, oh gosh, we've got to accept all these different sexualities. Well, it's getting to a point of just ridiculousness. And that is why Professor Van Anders from Queen's University in Canada, while she's rejecting sexual orientation as a category wholesale and saying we should readopt what she's calling sexual configuration theory, because she's basically, there are as many sexual orientations as there are people. And again, I mean, on gender identity, you have good scholars saying, you know, basically there are as many gender identities as there are people. And in a sense, they are closer to the truth, because you're a different kind of man than I'm a different kind of man. Clint Eastwood is a different kind of man than Bill Gates is, you know, and same thing with all kinds of different sorts of women. It doesn't mean that we we can't speak meaningfully about what sexuality is, but to try to categorize it as either gay, straight, or bi, and those are the only categories, I mean, that's not where the discussion is anymore.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family. He's author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for Public Discourse titled Sexual Orientation is Not What You Think It Is. Read it for yourself at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Glenn, thank you.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be with you.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., Rebecca Curtis joins us to talk about baby boomers and the Fourth Commandment, and we'll discuss the beheading of a French teacher for showing caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.